وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. وقال تعالى: وما هذه الحياة الدنيا إلا لهو ولعب وإن الدار الآخرة لهي الحيوان لو كانوا يعلمون. صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Respected elders and brothers, the ayat which I recited in the khutbah, wherein Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهْوُ وَلَعِبُ. This worldly life is nothing but an amusement and a play. How a person amuses himself, or he plays some sort of sport for a little while, there's some enjoyment, there's some happiness, but before he knows it, the amusement is over and the game is over. Like how children play with toys in this world, then adults play with bigger toys. But the reality is that all are toys, whether it is a small remote control car or whether it is some luxurious expensive vehicle, these are all toys. It's just that, and these are all children, because the mere fact that the person got carried away with that, it means he has still not matured in his understanding. He's still not intelligent enough. He's like a child. That is why he's blown away with those types of things. Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi, he mentioned ahlamu nawmin o kazillin za'ili. Said this is like a dream a person sees. A person sees a dream, he's blown away in the dream, he's very happy, he's excited. I'm seeing this dream. Before he knows it, the dream comes to an end and he wakes up to reality. All he says, it is like a shadow that you are seeing, but it's going to move away. Now the person in the afternoon, he's seen the shade of that tree, he's got excited, look at the shade, look at how much of coolness it's giving. And just after a little while, that shade just disappears. And then he said, إِنَّ الْلَبِيبَ بِمِثْرِهَا لَا يُخْدَعُ. An intelligent person is not deceived with these types of things. An intelligent person, he understands that this is a deception. It's not a reality. Before I know it, I'm going to have to leave it and I'm going to have to go away from this dunya. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, this worldly life is nothing but an amusement and a play. وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. The akhirat, the abode of the year after, that is the real life. That is what you need to work for. That is what you need to strive for. That is what you need to aspire for and make dua for. Because that is the real life. That is when reality will dawn over us. That is the eternal life. The life that continues and continues. There's only happiness in Jannah. There's only peace in Jannah. There's only good health in Jannah. Whatever you want, whatever you desire, you get it in Jannah. So you need to aspire for Jannah and not get blown away and not get carried away with this dunya. But how do you reach to Jannah? So in Sahih Muslim, there is another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, حُفَّتِ الْجَنَّةُ بِالْمَكَارِهِ وَحُفَّتِ النَّارُ بِالشَّهْوَاتِ. Jannah is surrounded with difficulties and hardships. For a person to get to Jannah, he's going to have to be prepared to undertake some difficulty. He's going to have to work hard for it. When you want something in this dunya, you understand very well,
You have to work hard for it. A man wants a house. He doesn't expect the house to fall from the sky. He knows he has to work. He has to make money. Then there's a lot of effort that goes in before he gets that house. Why is it when it comes to the akhirat, we just feel to ourselves, you're just going to get a jackpot? No, this system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jannah is surrounded with difficulties. And Jahannam is surrounded with lusts, with desires, with temptations, haram desires. Whatever the person wants to do, you know, they say, just do it. That is the mentality of shaitan. Just do it is the mentality of the kuffar. Just do it. No. A Muslim doesn't just do anything. He thinks properly. He analyzes the situation. Is this going to be pleasing to Allah? Displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Am I going to get closer to Allah? Am I going to get further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Remember, sins have also got properties. Sins will ruin your life. Ulama say, shu'mul ma'asi yazhabu bi khairi dunya wal akhirah. The bad luck of sin. People will blame the bad luck on everything else. They'll blame it on the black cat. They'll blame it on the mirror falling. They'll blame it on the number 13. The bad luck is your sins and your actions. So that is going to destroy the good of this world and the good of the year after. Ka'b al-Ahbar rahimahullah, a very great senior Jewish rabbi who accepted Islam in the era of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he said, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ الْوَبَى قَدْ فَشَى فَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الزِّنَى قَدْ فَشَى. When you see plague spreading and people getting sick, then be sure that zina is also spreading. When zina will spread, the plague is going to spread. When sin will be perpetrated, then there will be murders. Then blood will be shed. People will be murdered. People will be killed. All the effect of sins. We don't see it. We only know poison. Tell someone, buy, take poison, eat it. He'll ask you if you're mad. Tell him, give it to your child. Or you, if he tells you, give it to your child. Will you ever take poison and give to your child? No. My child's life is too dear to me. I cannot sacrifice his life. What about his deen? What about his iman? What about his morals? What about his character? What about his akhirat? What about his jannat? Are you prepared to sacrifice that? So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wa inna dar al-akhirata." The dar al-akhirat, this is the real life. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jannat is surrounded with difficulties. And Jahannam is surrounded with desires, with temptations, with lusts. Just do it. You live once, live it up. That is Jahannam. That's the route to Jahannam. Follow that principle in your life and you are heading straight to Jahannam. Allah protect us all. So as believers, we have to be very particular, very careful what we do, how we do it, where we go, which environment we go into. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Jannat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, go and see Jannat, go and see all the comforts, all the luxuries. When Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam seen Jannat, he seen the splendor, the happiness, the beauty of Jannat. He told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, I take an oath by your honor and your respect. No person will hear of Jannat except that definitely he will want to be here. He'll make an effort to come here. Then Allah Ta'ala commanded that Jannat is surrounded with difficulties. He told Jibreel, go and see again. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, now when he saw that difficulties and hardships around Jannat, to get to Jannat, then he told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, I take an oath by your honor. I am afraid that maybe no one will even make it here because this is not a very easy route. You got to undertake difficulties. Man, the Fajr time, he's feeling lazy, he's feeling tired. He doesn't want to wake up. He's got to oppose his nafs. He's got to oppose his desires. He has to say, this is Allah's command. Come what may, I got to be in the masjid. I got to be there for Fajr namaz. He's going to have to take difficulty upon himself. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, go and see Jahannam.
So Jibreel Islam went, saw Jahannam,
the frightening scenes of Jahannam, the punishment of Jahannam. He said, "Oh Allah, I take an oath by your honor, no person will hear of this and he will want to enter this place." That means any person who hears of Jahannam, he will work hard not to come here, because this place is so bad. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded, and Jahannam was surrounded with desires, with temptations, everything that the person wants to do. And then he told, "Go and see Jahannam now." When he saw Jahannam, then Hazrat Jibreel salam said, "Oh Allah, I take an oath by your honor, I'm afraid that no one will be saved of this place, because it's surrounded with temptations, with lusts, with desires. And human beings are weak. They're not going to be able to resist. They're going to fall into those sins. They're going to fall into those temptations." Respected friends, what is the purpose of this? It is to show us that definitely we have to make a concerted effort. If we want to get to Jannah, we want to get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we've got to work hard. We've got to make an effort, and we cannot follow our desires. We cannot follow our nafs. We cannot follow the kufar. We cannot follow the society. If the whole society is heading to Jahannam, are we also going to head in the same direction? Abu Sulaiman Ad-Darani rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, "La yaraka Allah haythu nahak wa la yafqiduka haythu amarak." Let Allah never ever see you in a place that He stopped you from. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopped you from going to a place, He told you don't go into a certain environment, let Allah never see you there. Make sure your whole life you don't go there. You don't go there, Allah must never see you there, because Allah will become displeased. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become angry. And وَلَا يَفْقِدُكَ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكَ, let Allah never find you missing from where He commanded you to be. Allah commanded you to be in the masjid at the time of salah. You must never be missing. Every namaz, you must be here in the masjid. Why? Allah commanded you. He commanded you to be here. So you make sure you are here, whatever happens. The sky can fall down. The world can come to an end. You come to the masjid. Don't worry about everything else. That is in Allah's control. Unless now a person is extremely sick or weak or hospitalized, then that is a different situation. But under normal circumstances, you got to be in the masjid. You make sure you are in the masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must never find you missing. It must never be. Maybe other people won't take notice. Maybe the imam of the masjid won't take notice. But Allah is watching you. The angels are writing down whether you hear, whether you not hear. Whether you're reading your salah, whether you're not reading your salah, they are recording this. And in the same manner, don't ever go to a place, a wrong environment. Remember, respected friends, when we come to this part of the year, then this is known as the silly season. This is the time when there's a lot of sin and darkness that spreads throughout the world. If you really go and chase back a lot of these festivals and parties that are happening in this part of the year, you will find it's linked to the pagan customs. The pagans of the past, their rituals and their customs, their offerings that they offered for Shaitan, and their offerings that they offered to planets and stars, etc. All that was happening in this part of the year. So this is where all this is coming from. As Muslims, as believers, we should never ever be in these toxic and negative environments. We should never go anywhere near there, and never allow our children to go there. If you know that a place is infested with malaria, and almost every person that's going to go into that area is going to be bitten by a mosquito, and he's going to contract malaria, will you send your child into that environment? You'll never send your child. Just few years ago, we saw COVID time. What people didn't do, out of fear of the virus, They were worried the virus, certain things, this is a super spreader. I can't go here, I can't go there. He was worried that the virus, he's going to contract the virus, his child will contract the virus. What effort did he not make to stay away from that place where he felt that he could contract COVID? If there's curfew out and you know you're going to go outside and you're going to get caught up in crossfire, or you're going to get shot, are you going to go? Is any intelligent person going to go? Any sensible person going to go in that environment? He's not going to go in that environment. He understands the repercussions. His child is too dear to him. Remember, this environment is 1,000 times worse than those environments. 1,000 times worse. Because here, you will lose your iman. Here, you will lose your morals. Here, you will lose your chastity. Here, in these environments, girls lose their virginity. In this environment, you can ruin your whole future. That child of yours, from the time he's born, you're making dua for him, Allah must bless him with a bright future. Then you're sending him into this environment. What is going to happen to that child? Remember, these are places upon which Allah's curse is descending. Allah's lanat is descending. Darkness is coming on this place. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, when someone invited him for a walima, as he came close to the place where the walima was happening, he heard some music. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala never entered. Someone told him, why are you not entering? He said, I heard Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, man kathara sawada qawmin fahuwa minhum. That person who increases the number of a people, he is part of them. If you are going into that environment and there's no real necessity, what if someone has no other option, he's got to go, there's some genuine necessity. But here there's no real necessity. You're going for a pastime. You're going for entertainment. So he says, who adds to the number of a people? Then he is among those people. وَمَنْ رَضِيَ عَمَلَ قَوْمٍ كَانَ شَرِيكَ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهِ. That person who is pleased with the action of a people, you going there, you enjoy yourself, you're laughing, you're joking, you're happy. The hadith Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, مَنْ رَآ مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, who sees an evil being perpetrated, فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ. You're supposed to stop it with your hands. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِ. If you cannot stop it with your hands, stop it with your tongue. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِ. And if you cannot stop it with your tongue, at least have disgust and hatred in your heart towards that evil. Stop it with your heart. وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. That is the weakest form of iman. After that, there is a fear that there may be no iman left also. If you don't dislike it in your heart, you do not have a disgust towards it, then maybe there's no iman left. Then your iman is very, very weak. It's like non-existent. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, towards the end of his life, he passed away in 1996. He would encourage people to read this dua, and we must read it all the time. Allahumma habbib ilayna al-iman. O Allah, make iman most beloved to us. Wazayyinhu fi qulubina. And O Allah, make it beautified in our hearts. Iman, everything related to iman, we must love it from the bottom of our hearts. Wakarrih ilayna al-kufra wal-fusuqa wal-isyan. And O Allah, make sin and disobedience most despicable to us, most hated to us. Like how a person despises filth, he despises dung, he despises, a person despises dirt, he despises all these different things, feces, he despises. So you must have that type of a hatred towards sin. Now imagine an environment filled with a whole lot of feces and dung, and the whole place is filthy and it's smelling, and you're going to walk in that environment and you have to tramp over that. Will any intelligent person go into that environment? Never. You're never going to go into that environment. So respected friends, we have to save and protect the iman of our children. These children are most dear to us. We don't want them to fall into problems. We don't want the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to descend on them. Last year, one alim, On New Year's morning, after Fajr, in a certain area nearby, he went onto the beach and he found Muslim boys and girls drunk, extremely intoxicated, can't even walk straight. The whole night they were there. Who cares now? Who bothers? Parents are in their own world. Children are in their own world. That child can become an addict. That child can become a druggie. He can ruin his entire life. One youngster, he went for a New Year's party. And remember, there's hundreds and sometimes thousands of Muslim youngsters in these parties. If you find out from the people who know about it, they will tell you how many Muslims. Some of these clubs, there's many Muslims in these clubs, not only boys, even girls. Allah protect our children. Father doesn't even know about it. Sometimes mother doesn't even know about it. Then when the child starts doing some funny things, then you say, hey, you know what, there's some jadu they put on my child. Someone cursed my child. We put the child in that environment. What's going to happen to that child? I'm not saying jadu is a reality. It may happen. Other things are a reality, nazar is a reality, but to blame everything on that is not the right thing. So this alim sees these people, these youngsters, young boys and young girls, drunk, intoxicated. So this other person, he happened to go for a party, New Year's party. Now, remember, all this goes with music. If I have to start speaking on music, I'm going to need a whole different session here. To tell you how dangerous and detrimental music is. One of the deadliest weapons that the kuffar are using against us is music. And then all of a sudden, the DJ stops. And there's complete silence. And then he says, if you'll want me to continue, everyone needs to prostrate and make sajda now. And almost every person in that gathering prostrated and made sajda. There were hundreds of Muslim young boys and young girls. Who did they make sajda for? Who? For shaitan. They made sajda for shaitan, for Iblis. That's what shaitan wants. He wants to take you out from the masjid.